The Mont Alto Motion Picture Orchestra is a small orchestra, usually five pieces with piano, violin, cello, clarinet, and trumpet. The orchestra's mission is simple: to revive and perform music composed and published for silent film accompaniment in the 19-teens and 20s. The orchestra normally performs this music as it was intended, as the live soundtrack to the film for which it was composed. The Mont Alto Motion Picture Orchestra has performed in Northwest Arkansas before, but this weekend, they'll perform the live soundtrack to the 1927 film Wings. It will take place at 2 o'clock Sunday afternoon, that's Veterans Day, at the Faulkner Performing Arts Center on the U of A campus. In advance of that performance, Ozarks at Large's Timothy Dennis reached Rodney Sauer, pianist, composer, and conductor for the Mont Alto Motion Picture Orchestra, to talk about the performance, which will be a commemoration of the 100th anniversary of the ending of World War I.
The real reason for doing it on this day, we're actually playing it on November 11th, which is the exact 100th anniversary of the end of World War I, the Armistice Day. And yeah, there was a lot of interest in World War I. Immediately after the war, things tended to be a bit more escapist. But after about 5 to 10 years, there was a lot of interest in telling these stories. Wings was just a huge, high-budget production. It is a very impressive film. It was filmed by William Wellman, who went on to have a very long career in Hollywood. A lot of his films are still very highly regarded today, but this was his first really big film that he did. William Wellman had been in the Army in World War I, and as a matter of fact, had flown planes, so that's why he was chosen for this story. But the idea was to tell a story of two young men and a couple of young women who go over to fight in the war. So Richard Arlen and Charles Buddy Rogers are the two friends from high school, basically, who go over and learn how to fly planes. And then Clara Bow plays a woman who joins the Women's Officer Corps and drives a delivery truck behind the lines. But, of course, you know, this is a Hollywood movie. She gets up to the front lines and gets in a lot of trouble as well. But I think the most impressive thing is just the scale of the battles that they put on. They had a lot of airplanes left over from the war that they didn't need anymore. They were old technology by 1927. So the Army said, sure, use as many as you like. And so there's a lot of air footage. There's a lot of aerial combat. You see planes being shot down and falling from the sky in flames and crashing to the ground. And it's just amazing to watch this. And no one actually died on the film. It's kind of impressive when you see the kinds of stunts they were playing trying to recreate this World War I combat.
I first saw this movie several years ago. It was a VHS copy that the soundtrack was actually just a pipe organ. But attendees at this event are going to experience something completely different, right?
Yes, exactly. So if you had gone to this movie back in the day, this was the time when sound was starting to creep into theaters. It was cheaper to put on a sound picture once you made the initial investment, but a lot of theaters hadn't converted to sound. So it was up to each theater what they wanted to do for sound. So the organ score that you heard, that would have been, in some theaters you would have gone and you would have heard an organ score. If you'd gone to the New York premiere, you would have heard a very large orchestra, probably a 70-piece orchestra at the Capitol Theater in New York City. If you'd gone to, you know, after a couple years when it made its way out to the Boondocks, you might have heard a piano player playing it in a small theater. And the music could have been completely different at each one of these shows. One thing that's fun about our show is that I happened to have access to the original score that was played in New York. It was commissioned for this film. And so a composer named John Zamishnik, who is from Cleveland, he didn't write a whole score. He didn't have time to write the whole score. It's a long movie, and it has a lot of music. But he wrote what he thought was for the most important scenes, and I have this music. So I was able to adapt that for our five-piece group. And then he would pull other music from his library to fill in the other spaces. But besides our five-piece group, what we found was at the original showing, there were times in the battle sequences when the orchestra would drop out altogether, and it was turned over to a sound effects crew. So you'd have people doing airplane engines, and you'd have people doing machine guns and explosions. And we are actually going to do that. We're going to have a four-piece pit crew over on the other side of the stage that will have some airplane engine machines that we're rigging from bicycles. And we'll have a couple of large drums for doing explosions and artillery fire. And we have a machine gun, which is actually an electric typewriter. It turns out if you lean on one of the repeating keys on an electric typewriter, it makes a very good machine gun. So that will, I think, add a lot of realism to the battle sequences. And that's something that's a little unusual for us. Usually we don't do a lot with sound effects, but with this movie, we're going to do quite a lot.
Right. What have you done to really kind of fill out that score for this performance other than the sound effects?
The way scores were done in that day was you didn't have time to write original music. So you'd have a large library of music, and the music was, you know, you might call it generic cue music. You have a bunch of music that's good for storms and music that's good for battles and music that's good for, you know, that was written for love themes or for scenic landscapes. And what you do is when you were scoring a film, instead of writing music, you just go to your library and say, oh, look, here's a storm scene I haven't used. We'll try that. So actually, some of the music that you'll hear during the battles was actually written for storms. But it turns out battles and storms have a lot in common. So if you're in the audience and you're watching a battle, then it'll be battle music. You know, and if you're watching a storm, it'll be storm music. And if you're watching a sword fight, it'll be sword fight music. But yes, one of the things I consciously did, because Zamyshnik, this composer who wrote the original music for Wings, he had been writing for decades. So I was able to go look at his back catalog and pull music that he'd written earlier without this movie in mind and use it to fill some of the spaces in the score where I didn't have the music that was originally used in New York. And I thought it was an interesting idea of what would it be like if J.S. Zamyshnik had actually written the whole score. And he might have come up, you know, he might have done it this way.
So aside from the difference in instrumentation, you know, a full orchestra versus an organ or a piano, what do you feel separates the original premiere score of the film from the one that most people have probably heard?
Oh, let's see. One other thing I know, the organ score you heard was probably one that was recorded by an organist named Gaylord Carter, and he actually also had the original music, at least the title music for Wings. So his was probably a little closer to what you would hear, you know, at the concert hall. Some of the melodic material will be the same, not all of it, but the main theme. Zamyshnik also was very interested in the idea of writing classical music for the film, for movies, and to bring classical ideas in. So something you'll notice if you're a musician or if you're an opera fan especially, is that he uses these what are called leitmotifs, a little very short phrase, musical phrase, that represents a character. And when that character's on the screen, you'll very often hear that person's phrase being played in the music.
Yeah.
And it's another way that we have to make sure that we stay in synchronization with the film, because we don't want those leitmotifs to get mixed up and be played for the wrong people. And again, not many people will notice, but those who are paying close attention to the music will hear that.
So speaking of, you know, keeping in sync with the motifs and what's going on screen, how do you prepare to get that timing right for performing a silent film score?
Yeah, it's a lot of practice, and it's being used to doing it. The more times you play it, the closer you get to the right tempo. So what we do is we sit down, you know, we actually have a video of the film, which is a luxury they did not have back in 1927, and we run the film, and we play through the score. And we, you know, when we get done with a section, we look, okay, this one here has to be a little bit faster, that one there has to be a little bit slower. And sometimes we get a bit more drastic. And it's like, you know what, we're not going to get that piece fast enough. Let's cut 8 bars out of it, and then we can play it at the speed we seem to be wanting to play it at. But this is a movie that we've now done probably 6 or 7 performances of, so we're pretty used to it. And I think people will be impressed with how it stays in sync. But it's, you know, it's like playing a Broadway show. After you play it a few times, you get used to the tempos and things go at pretty much the same speed every night.
Right.
But yeah, we do have to keep in mind that the film's not going to wait for us. it's going. And no matter what we do in the pit, the film is going to keep going. So,
well, I know with some scoring of modern films, there are different tools that conductors can use to kind of keep an eye on and make sure the orchestra is actually playing kind of in time with the film. Are there any tools, special tools, that you use to keep the orchestra on time, or is it just all in the rehearsal?
It's in the rehearsal and how we feel about it, and that's because we're trying to recreate how it was done back in the past. There are people who recreate films and use what's called a click track, where you have a little headphone in your ear that no one else can hear, but it's making little metronome ticks.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a good way to stay exactly in sync. But no, we don't do that. We're watching the film kind of out of the corner of our eye, but usually by the time we've played the film a few times, We're pretty confident, and we'll watch our music, and we'll listen to each other. And then as we approach the end of a scene, I'll be glancing up at the screen to say, you know, are we about at the right spot? Is this movie, you know, is the scene about to end? Do I need to push it ahead a little bit? But it's challenging, but it's a lot of fun. And as you can imagine, anytime you do these, there's a fair amount of adrenaline going, you know, is everything going to go smoothly today?
Right. All right. Well, Rodney, thank you so much for spending some time with us today.
Certainly.
That was Rodney Sauer, pianist, composer, and conductor for the Mont Alto Motion Picture Orchestra, speaking with Ozarks at Large's Timothy Dennis last week. The Mont Alto performance of Wings will take place at 2 o'clock Sunday afternoon, Veterans Day, at the Faulkner Performing Arts Center on the University of Arkansas campus. You can find out more about the performance at faulkner.uark.edu, and you can find out more about the orchestra at mont-alto.com.